Welcome back to the TCDSU Diversity in STEM podcast. Diversity in STEM is a TCDSU campaign aiming to highlight and support the range of backgrounds and identities in STEM. This podcast aims to be a discussion with individuals from underrepresented groups about their experiences in STEM, the work that they do, and their views on how to make STEM both more diverse and more accessible. On this episode, Diversity in STEM committee member Aoife spoke to Zoe Cummins and Alex Fay, two physics students at Trinity who are also involved with the Trinity Access Program. They spoke about access to education, the digital divide, and why it is important to them to be ambassadors for TAP.
All right, so hi everybody. And this week on the podcast, we have Zoe Cummins and Alexander Fay. So hi to both of you. How are you doing?
Hi, yeah. No, not doing too bad. The awkward silence there, who gets to go first?
But Sorry.
I know, I'm doing quite well, despite everything. I don't want to mention the dreaded C word, but yeah, doing as best as we all can.
I'm the same myself. I'm doing grand enough, trying to struggle my way through college like everybody else.
Oh god, yeah, no, it's all a bit odd at the moment. I think semester two, if anything, is just more confusing. Thought I'd get back by now, but so if you want to introduce yourself a little bit there and just tell us why you're on the podcast today.
Yeah, well, my name is Zoe Cummins. I'm 21 and I come from Arklow in County Wicklow. So I'm not a dub like Alex here himself. But the reason I'm here to talk today is because I came to college through an access route called the HERE scheme. So basically what that means is anyone who comes from a route or a background that isn't represented in college usually. So that thing where we don't want to have just the children of doctors and lawyers taking up all these spaces, where we want to make sure that the college student body can be as representative of Ireland as a whole country. And that's the whole point of what HERE is. And then coming in for the HERE scheme into Trinity, because Trinity have their own program for all these HERE students plus more students that they have, so that's the Trinity Access program. So that's why I'm here. I'm a member of that, but usually my day-to-day I study physical sciences, but due to the madness that was 2020, I've taken a year off books, so it's my year out essentially, but still keeping in touch with TAP and doing all the outreach with them, so they haven't got rid of me this year.
And Alexander, yourself, tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, so similar enough to Zoe, apart from the Arklow bit, I come from Dublin's North Inner City, proud North Walian. I came in through the Access Programs Foundation course for young adults, which is basically a year for young students coming from a Leaving Cert background. Usually they transition into college, they get a year where they can study almost anything they want at a level 5 on the NFQ, I think it's called, on the scale of qualifications. They get graded, they're, you know, full-on Trinity students, they do the assessments, and they kind of get used to the college environment where it mightn't be traditional for them or for members of the family. So I did that for a year, and then I went in, and I'm now studying physics. I'm in Torger. That's me.
Brilliant. So I'm greatly outnumbered by physicists. Environmental science suddenly doesn't sound quite so cool. So I guess the reason that we're talking on the podcast today is, as in diversity in STEM, obviously we try to increase awareness and try to engage people who may not otherwise have had their voices heard, because they're part of an historically underrepresented group in the college. And I think particularly in COVID-19, when it came to the Leaving Cert and we were seeing how they were going to adapt to that, we saw that there is quite an issue with the Leaving Cert, particularly between private and publicly funded schools in the point system. So I guess TAP and HERE, they both aim to try and increase the amount of students who come in. So it's not just full of private school students, as you said, Zoe, full of doctors and lawyers, children. Did you find that be quite interesting, seeing that all kind of come to the public light? I guess some people were very unaware of it beforehand.
Obviously, I think everyone who comes from the background that Alex and I do were absolutely outraged, the fact that they were trying to suggest that, oh, if you came from a certain type of school, you couldn't have a certain amount of H1s or high grades there, so that it'd be based on past year statistics. But I was like humbly surprised by the reaction of like the whole country and everyone I knew around me who didn't come from that background. Everyone was against that. Everyone was like, that's not on, which is great to see, because sometimes you're in this little bubble where you think the world's against you just because you come from a background that's has a bit more struggle. But definitely the way it was adjusted was not like was better in terms of the way they scrapped that whole idea. But definitely it was a bit enlightening, and it was like humbling almost to like realize that people didn't just hate us for being poor kids, essentially.
It's kind of like what Zoe was saying there. A lot of people had this idea of the Leaving Cert, which was upended this year. A lot of people assumed because students across the country are taking the same exam, that's a level playing field, which hasn't always been the case. That's been exposed this year because a lot of students are doing stuff like learn. So if you look at one of the recent campaigns talking about TAP that they've launched along with Camara Island to take the students, there's a huge technological divide, not only like a socioeconomic divide, which obviously leaves that technological divide, students learning at home, being expected to take supposedly the same exam, a completely different situation, no desk to study at, dodgy Wi-Fi, no laptop and stuff like that. So it's nice to see, as always saying, like, people come around and say, this isn't on, and seeing the response of people saying, like, this needs to be a fairer system. In order to change that perception of, like, you know, only certain people's children should go on to education, you also have to change the sort of education that a lot of people's children are getting, like, a lot fairer.
No, I definitely agree with that, especially because I think historically, you come into college and you hear the people who go to private schools in South Dublin and they could have the grinds and all the looks they wanted and they didn't have to work part-time jobs to help finance their way through Leaving Cert. And I think that was a bit disheartening, but then it came to the point where you couldn't be mad at people because they just ended up in this position where their family were able to provide this for them. It's not their fault. And that was a big thing I had to conquer throughout college, not being mad at these people versus being more fortunate than I was. But no, definitely, I think this year and 2020 has definitely upended the fact that the Leaving Cert was never a fair system to begin with. It's like a memory test, and like the more skills you have and the more tools at your disposal to be able to do that memory test. So, no, like just no, like an easy enough family home. Obviously, no, not everyone has an easy family or home life, but where things you don't have to be working or things like you're just your parents are together and things like that. But also like access to online learning tools, so your laptops, like your good Wi-Fi, you know, like a room to yourself, like these things some of us take for granted and some of us are lucky enough to have. But then you can think about like myself, like with all my siblings, if I had to do online college and for secondary school, it'd be madness and won't be able to happen.
Definitely. And I think that's something that a lot of people, when they are privately educated, you are living in a bubble and you never even consider a lot of these things. So ultimately, I know COVID hasn't been a wonderful thing, but that is something good that's come out of it, is that awareness has grown a bit. And particularly, it's really interesting that you bring up tech to students. I've seen it on the, I've heard it on the radio now. I've seen it on the TV. It's brilliant.
Yeah, we've gotten around it. I was really surprised. I sat down the other week on Friday and I saw the co-director for Trinity Access, Dr. Cliona Hannan. And I was sitting there and she just appeared on the news talking about tech to students. I was like, I remember it starting off as like a thing way last year, and then there was talk to like, oh, we can do a laptop loan scheme for college students, and then it was like, yeah, we're shipping like thousands of devices across the country. I'm like, that's mad. And then it appeared on the late as well. It's like, just crazy where these things start from, you know?
Yeah, and once it's made to the late, I mean, that's the peak of fame here. So, and I do have, if anyone is interested in listening to the podcast about tech to students, if you do want more information on that, you can go to tcd.ie/trinityaccess/tech-students. And it's a really great way to get involved with TAP and to get involved with trying to break the divide that so often exists in Ireland, the technological divide. And I should say that's a 2 as a number, not as in T-O.
Yeah.
That would definitely catch me if I was looking it up.
Definitely. Sorry to put in there, but like if anyone listen or knows anyone that has a spare laptop going where like it's still in good nick, but it's just not needed anymore, definitely consider donating it, because that could give someone in like the back arse of nowhere, sorry, I shouldn't be saying that, but in the middle of nowhere, Connacht, like could really be changing the way they learn and their experiences with online learning. So definitely I would urge anyone to try and give it if they can.
Definitely. And I guess we've been talking about a bit here about kind of the Leaving Cert level of students and how that might be a disadvantage if your background going into college, but once you get into college again, there are other struggles that can occur. And I think a lot of people think once you've got into college you've made it, you know, no other assistant need be offered. But one of the great things about TAP is that they continue to offer support throughout. And Jenny, if you want to talk a bit about that there.
Yeah, I'll go again first. Sorry, Alex, keep taking all the first spots. But definitely, I think in Leaving Cert and sixth year, when you have your guidance counsellors telling you about these routes into college, it's definitely about just getting to college, and then they don't really tell you anything about when you get there. So I remember just showing up and being like, what is this whole experience? Like, have I just gotten reduced points, or is that the only thing I'm going to get from the HEAR scheme. But then, like, TAP and the way you're going to do it is just next to none. First of all, when you go in as a fresher, you have to do this weekend orientation, which was, it's just like everyone who comes from TAP says, like, it's the best time, where you just spend a weekend on campus with everyone else who's coming in from the HEAR scheme. That's where I first met Alex, because he was a year above, and he's like the mentor I had, showing me around the place and telling me, this is the best place for your chicken fillet rolls, and don't go to this room, it's cold. So it's that thing where you have an extra bit of getting to know the college and getting to know people around you, come to the same experiences. And some people I met that weekend are still like friends I have now, who I can always turn to, Alex included himself. But then there definitely is support in every facet of your experience through college. So they have like academic supports where you can like have a laptop loan. And that's been before tech to students. That was a whole foundation we had here, where it was recognized that you can't really do college without a laptop. You can't be writing your essays just in the library. So that was something that I took advantage of in first year. And then there is like the emotional and like just the personal supports, where you have your top mentor who's just like well-versed in the different kind of scenarios and situations someone who comes through that scheme would face. So things like, oh, I have to work X amount of hours to be able to afford my commute or my rent, and it's just getting a bit down, and it's like making me a bit like, it's all a bit much. And then they can direct you into the way of like certain grants or like certain ways to like try and make things a bit less hassle for you. And for me, when I was like deciding whether to go off books or not, you think, oh, going off books, like just going off year for and going off college for a year, but then there's like a 370 euro fine or fee that comes with that. And I was like, oh, like, I'm not going to be able to pay this up out front. But then my wonderful TAP mentor showed me the direction of like how we could go through the student assistance fund, because like that was something that would fall under like an emergency payment for that. So it's something where there's always help there if you need it or want it, and it's just a matter of looking for it and asking for it.
Definitely. It's brilliant to have those kind of supports throughout college. Again, I think that's something people don't often realize, the privilege they have to be able to not have a weekend job, for example, and not have to rely on that, and having the access fund, for example, or being told even where to find these things is a brilliant support to have, because college can be very scary sometimes in trying to navigate all these very big words, like the Truly Access Fund. It's, you wouldn't hear about it every single day. So it's brilliant to have those kind of supports. The internal costs of college are quite large. You wouldn't expect it, you know, even if you do get support through SUSE or through various other funds or scholarships, there are things within college that often aren't accounted for, whether that be your books, a laptop, field work. Science in particular, I feel, has a lot of kind of hidden costs throughout. And bringing awareness to those things is really important. For any student who may feel particularly overwhelmed by those kind of things, would you have any advice for them going forward?
Well, it is just as you said, that there are hidden costs that aren't talked about. And thankfully, if you are an access student and you come through the HEAR scheme, like what Zoe was saying there, you are given kind of like a few days before freshman week to just be orientated with a group of people from the same socioeconomic background, the same experiences. You can talk to each other. We do not a module, but a workshop on finance and budgeting. You go through all the scholarships you can get. So we mentioned there, SAF was given an extra bit of, I suppose, meat on the bone for a lot of students this year because COVID hit. And, you know, a lot of students won't qualify for PUP because the summer work wasn't regular or it didn't happen. So you don't have that work history. Obviously, there was the extra SUSE payment or fees refund from the government, which is 250 euro. That mightn't cover a lot for a lot of students. I suppose one of the benefits is that some of the hidden costs have gone away in terms of whether that's transport, whether that's having to move up for college. But like we are saying, there's now more hidden costs in terms of laptops and, you know, having to upgrade Wi-Fi and stuff like that. In terms of advice myself, sometimes it's difficult. I have the privilege of living in Dublin's inner city my entire life, so I don't have the experience to talk about things like accommodation refunds and stuff like that. But the likes of budgeting certainly got a lot easier for me because I found myself, I wasn't going around on campus buying 2 and 3 euro coffees and stuff like that when I shouldn't have. I don't have the opportunity to waste money anymore, even when I was budgeting in the past. I'm sure there's a lot of students out there who have better advice that they found themselves compared to last year than they can probably get from me.
Yeah, well, I'll just add on there to say that there's the Emergency Student Fund, which is like available to any student. So it's not even just TAF students, where if like it comes to a point where your laptop's broken and like you need a new one ASAP and you just don't have 500 euro to fork out, that's something you could apply to from your tutor. So that's like if there's an extenuating circumstance where there's a sum of money that's needed straight away, that could be, I don't know, a parent has lost like a source of income and there's rent due, or there's a accommodation money due, and that's available for anyone, not even just TAF students. So I would definitely recommend, if anyone is having a hard time, to look into that. And it's like a case-by-case basis, so it's just like how severe your situation is, and then yeah, you can try and see how much assistance you can get from that. But definitely what Alex said, I remember when I first started college in first year, and obviously it was not COVID times, but it was like an adjustment period trying to like handle your own money, because I was getting the most out of Susie could possibly get, because I lived so far away from college that like I'd have to either commute 2 hours each day or live in Dublin. And it was something like, God forbid, you know, you wanted to burrito with your friends that week. It was like, okay, I'm going to like budget this out. And then it became really clear that some friends didn't have the same struggles you did. So it was like some friends didn't have to worry about going to the pub after college for a pint or two. Whereas I was like, okay, if I do this, it means I'm going to have to eat this for this week and I can't go out and buy in this sort of stuff. And it was just, it was very much like, this is an adult situation now. And it was something where I couldn't go back to my parents and ask them for help or money, because I was like, I got here myself and this is like me now. It's like a very adult thing. And then that was a bit like daunting, a bit like overwhelming to begin with. But then I did sell into like a groove and I was like, okay, I know I'm going to have to like just eat pasta for a few weeks, which is, you know, the student staple. But yeah, no, wild like adjustment period, definitely.
There's something, just to pick up there on what Zoe said, something really interesting about that element you mentioned, like, oh, I'm going to have to do this so we can, you know, I'd be able to go to the path and get me cans off and all that. Which is obviously, you know, not every student drinks, but like it's a fun part of college, getting the social stuff. I remember Dr. Anne Looney from DCU, I believe, talking about the social cost of college and the social inequality, which is something that obviously getting to college and being able to afford it is really important. But once you get there and you can afford that, some students can't live that social scene, which is never really talked about, even amongst like top students. I never thought about it. And I remember Dr. Looney explaining the whole thing. Like, if you look at, they have young students and they want to go to Trinity Ball, all the mates are going, the mates aren't from necessarily the same financial background. They can't afford to go on that night out, and then the next night out, if they can't afford the taxi home, because they live far away in accommodation, they can't afford the cans and all that, they can't afford the ticket to this, you're suddenly left behind in your own little social group because you can't afford to keep up with them. And it's a weird thing, I never noticed it before until it was said to me, and then I started picking it out and various different classes and groups I was with, you could see people are kind of like, I can't go out this night, I have to, you know, you'd make excuses for the reason why you can't go out for points. But it's like what I always said, that if you fell into a groove, I fell into a groove, that's kind of what you learn to do. No matter how many times you're told budget in this way, you kind of figure out yourself eventually what works.
Yeah, no, definitely, I'd pick up on that. Oh, sorry.
No, continue.
That there would be like your friends who, like, a bit luckier that we, with you, luckier than you when it came to like a prime situation, and like there'd be weird weeks, but like, let's go abroad, and I'm like, it's not Ryanair in a hostel, I'm not going. Like, it's that thing where I got to the point where I had to like turn down situations and certain things just because I knew I wouldn't have been able to like live comfortably, or just live like to have to be washed, fed and watered the next week if I like was going on a night out. And that was like a bit disheartening. But then definitely, I think most people like I've encountered through college like are like really understanding, and like that they themselves, like even if you come from an easy enough background, you're not like, you're just, you, no one's made the money, no one's parents are going to be throwing them money for everything. So you do have to make decisions where like, are you going to spend your 50 euro a week at the grocery shop, or are you going to have a major night out? And it's that thing where you do have to start picking priorities, and sometimes you pick the night out and you suffer for it for the next week. But that's it's all about the learning experience and learning through that.
Definitely. And another thing, sorry, I think kind of we very briefly mentioned it there, is that for many people living in Dublin, if they're not from Dublin, the accommodation prices in Dublin are just unbelievably high. And so for a lot of people, it may also be that it's a cost issue of going out and socializing tonight, but also many people have to get the bus home and people have to get the train home. And that would disproportionately affect people who can't afford to rent in Dublin, as many people can't.
So I come from the south of Wicklow, so it's like it would be a 2 hour commute during rush hour. And for the first semester, I did do the commute, and where it would be to be in for 9 o'clock, you're on a 7:45 bus, And then God forbid you had a society event or some sort of social life where you get home, you get the bus home at 8 or 9, you'd be home by 11 or 12 and up again in 6 hours time. And it was honestly, I hated it so much. And it was fair play to anyone who does a tough commute, because I had enough and I was lucky enough to be able to rent a room from someone who was put in contact with TAP, and they wanted to give someone a decent enough price for a room. And I was so blessed with that. And I know that's in no way what everyone else gets, because that thing where you're paying 800 euro a month for a single room in this one house that has mold and the taps don't work and there's no hot water, and it's just that thing where you make do because now you can't go to college, and it's not fair. It affects everyone. It's not even just TAP students. Everyone is now facing during the housing crisis or facing stupid amounts of rent and accommodation prices to just try and get by. And it's something I'm very passionate about and very annoyed about, but hopefully in the next few years we can get some change with that.
Definitely. And I think in the pandemic a lot of these social events have become more accessible, which is brilliant, having them all online, even though we may all suffer a bit from Zoom burnout by the time society events done at 9:30. It's brilliant to be able to get involved in all these different things. I definitely think people should take advantage of that at the moment, to be able to go to all these different events. I think that is pretty much all we have. Is there anything else you guys want to add into the conversation at the end?
Yeah, and I also want to mention one thing, the way that you mentioned earlier, Aoife, that a lot of people wouldn't have heard of TAP before, but Alex and I are very vocal about being members of TAP and what it is, but then it's a lot more prevalent than you think in college. It's something about, I think, between 10 and 20% of our student body come through and access through either through the DARE scheme, HERE scheme, or they have Susie. So it's that thing where people might not be as out front with you about it, but it's that thing where there are a lot of people in college who come through routes that aren't historically represented. I think that's really great. And Trinity are miles ahead of some of the colleges. I'm not going to mention, but one around Belfield has a really, really low rate in terms of people from access routes they bring them to college. So it's that thing where we have there is this trope that Trinity is only for the posh people from South Dublin, but we're trying to break that, and it's not as true as it does sound. Look at normal people. We've Cuddle coming from the West, and he's getting his Susie grant. So there are the Cunnels all around Trinity, not just people like Alex and I who are very vocal about it.
Yeah, it is a big enough community. It can feel small initially, but once you get in and you're doing your pre-uni where when you get up with the gangsters. A really nice part is that you do get to get involved as a student, and you don't feel like a student, because you do stuff you can be an access ambassador or an ambassador for the access programs, and you can do stuff like campus tours. So we get schools and we get outreach in. So you take primary schools, secondary schools, and you find the wisdom about the place. I do be bringing into every building. I'm here's security on here. Let's hop in here. And you'd be bringing them into the physics building, showing them where Irving Schroden and I used to do his lectures and stuff like that. And it's nice just bringing people in who have the same accent as you and stuff like that, and just they're I'll go here, and then we do some more schools as well with primary and secondary schools. We do a huge amount of things, and as a student it's nice to feel you're not just constantly, this would be the wrong word, taken, feeling you're getting stuff for free, you are giving back and you are an important part of the community, which is a nice thing to say to TAP students who don't realise that. And it was just okay, I'm in, I'm done. It's no, you can give back to us as well, in a nice way.
No, definitely. I think that's one of the most rewarding parts about being involved with TAP. And something Alex mentioned, the campus tours and summer school, but then we do also panel discussions where we go in and give info talks about the HERE scheme and DARE scheme, talk about our own experiences, because it's all grand for guidance counsellors to say, need to fulfill this requirement, but then you have people who come in and say, look, this, I did this and this is how I came in, and someone who came in the same background as you. So it's just that thing of, if you spark it in one kid's head to say, look, it's not an option closed off to me just because my parents didn't go to college and they don't earn X amount of money and we don't have the resources that people have. And it's just that thing of trying to encourage people to go to college if they want to, and it, just to make sure they know it's an option for them even if they don't think it is, because there are these resources here, and just to improve the engagement and the knowledge about them. It's the whole ethos of TAP as well. They do so much outreach for secondary school, so it's very much about trying to get them into college and then keep them in there and keep them as well supported as possible.
Yeah, usually it depends on the group of kids you get, but if it's secondary school students, they're mad about points and oh, I want to get this and I want to get that. But like when you get primary school students in, like you have one or two in your heads. It's like, here, listen, if other happens stuff, I don't have to do this. I was chatting to one of them in a summer school there, and I just tell them I'm very fortunate that I applied to this thing, IASIS, which is like an international student kind of assistance association. So they work with kind of different student groups, and they usually hold like an annual summit. And this one just happened to be in South Africa. I applied for it, didn't have any breeze where I'd get funding from, shot somebody an email and happened. They're like, you know what, we'll sort that, away you go. So like when you tell kids who aren't from maybe the most well-off background here, listen, get in here, do well, get a grade in, you can do whatever you want. Like, eyes lit up and it's just very fun, you know?
Brilliant. I think that's a really lovely note to end it on there, is because it's such a brilliant organization, such a brilliant community, TAP is. And if anyone is wanting to find out more about TAP, that's ccd.ie/TrinityAccess, or a quick Google will bring it up there for you. So thank you both very much for being on the podcast. It's been lovely speaking to you.
Thanks for having us, Eva.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.
So that wraps up the third episode of the Diversity in STEM podcast, where we had a brilliant conversation about accessibility to education and the Trinity Access Programme. Thanks so much to our guests, Zoe Cummins and Alex Fay. You were both fantastic and it was a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much to both new and returning listeners. We hope to bring you another episode soon. As the podcast continues and progresses, we would like our listeners to have their say in the guests that we speak to and the discussions that we have. If there is anyone in particular that you would enjoy hearing on this podcast in the future, be sure to fill out our feedback form, which will be available on our social media platforms, which are TCDSU Diversity in STEM on Facebook and at @TCDSU_DiversityInSTEM on Instagram. If you have any other ideas or would like to get involved with the campaign in any ways, please do get in touch.